Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
It is 5:03. Good evening. I'm Brian Douglas in for Rob Archer. We've got more on baseball legend Pete Rose passing away, and it's about to get very hot here in Southern California. But first, the man arrested for hijacking the Metro bus and murdering one of the passengers aboard, he's been charged with a dozen serious crimes. Those charges were announced by L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon, and the Metro Chair Janice Hahn also spoke.
We had a total of six victims in this case. We had the murder victim, which is Mr. Anthony Rivera. We also had the bus driver, who was a victim of carjacking and kidnapping victim, Mr. Dennis Contreras. We have Ms. Arcita, who was a victim of attempt robbery, kidnapping. And then we have Joyce Davis, Duane Jenkins, and Maurice Williams, who were all victims of kidnapping. There are a total of 12 counts in this case, one count of murder.
A man who enacted this much violence must be charged to the fullest extent of the law, and I appreciate that is what George Gascon is doing with this long list of serious charges. If this man is found guilty, he will spend the rest of his life in prison for the pain and suffering that he caused.
Now, the suspect was scheduled to appear in court today, but he actually refused to leave his jail cell. If convicted, as charged, he's going to spend more than 90 years to life in prison. It should be noted that Gascon is running for re-election as L.A. County's district attorney. His opponent in the race, Nathan Hochman, he was on our Countdown 2024 show today, just a couple hours ago. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and you will find it. Well, a person's been killed during a carjacking after he fell from the truck that he was driving. He was pulled out of that truck and he held on. He was also run over by the suspect. Now, it happened Friday morning now, the intersection of Martin Luther King Boulevard and Buckingham Road. The suspect, identified as Brian Rodriguez, he stole a white box truck and that led police on a short pursuit. And as I mentioned, that victim, the driver, he was hanging on to the truck the entire time. He eventually fell off. He was run over by the suspect. Now, Rodriguez, the one that did the truck jacking there, eventually ended up in custody, booked. He's currently being held without bail. Let's talk about Pete Rose, one of the best players of all time. He has died. Pete Rose, he was a controversial figure in sport, no doubt. He was 83 years old. His accomplishments on the field unmatched. Rose is a Major League Baseball's all-time leader. He was All-Star 17 times, won three World Series titles, and was named National League MVP back in 1973. This was the call as he passed Ty Cobb for the most base hits.
Chow kicks and he fires. Rose swings.
There it is! There it is! Get out! Get out!
Rose, known as Charlie Hustle for the way he played the game, but he was permanently banned from baseball, as I think a lot of us know, after he was accused of betting on games while he managed the Reds back in the 80s. In 2004, he admitted to betting on games that he was involved in, but he always said there was just too much made of the ban.
Most people are like me. Get over it. It happened. There's nothing you can do to change it. And I didn't break up the Beatles, okay? I didn't shoot JFK, okay?
Now, he is ineligible to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Once again, Pete Rose has died at the age of 83. Some of you will recognize this name, Bob Navarro. He's a pioneer for Latinos in broadcast journalism. He has passed on now at 92. According to the LA Times, he was one of few Latinos working in broadcast news in the late 60s when he joined Channel 2's The Big News. That was a big show back then in the late 60s. He said when he got there were two females. One was a reporter, the other a writer. He said there was also one African-American, but no Latinos. He was the first. Navarro later went on to be an on-screen reporter and one of a handful of Latino reporters appearing on Southern California airwaves in the early and mid-70s. He also ended up hosting a weekly interview show with his own name and the title, Bob Navarro's Journal. Again, Bob Navarro passes on at the age of 92. Well, the ringleader in a smash and grab at Beverly Hills at a Beverly Hills jewelry store 2 years ago pleaded guilty to federal charges today. Here's Emily Valdez with more.
The feds typically don't get involved in these types of cases, but this one was special. $2.6 million, and it may have spawned a string of copycat smash and grabs.
This is a pretty brazen smash and grab robbery that occurred in broad daylight in one of the most crowded and high-end luxury shopping centers here in Los Angeles.
Assistant U.S. Attorney Kevin Butler.
Obviously, there was a lot of surveillance footage, not only from the stores in the area, but from people who posted it to social media.
Liddell Tharp pleaded guilty to one count of interference with commerce by robbery under the Hobbs Act. He's the third person in the robbery crew to do so.
The brazen nature of both the robbery and the Instagram posts was something that we thought was deserving of federal attention, and we hope there's a deterrent effect from it.
Butler says Tharp will likely serve about 10 years. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, we had a deadly crash that happened last night in the city of Orange, a result of a man who was driving under the influence. Happened at the very busy intersection at Tustin and Collins Avenue, just off the 22 there, when the 18-year-old driving a Chevy SUV ran a red light, slammed into a Toyota SUV. Unfortunately, the woman in the passenger seat of the Toyota died at the scene. Well, her 13-year-old daughter, who was sitting in the backseat right behind her, she's still alive, but she remains in critical condition in the hospital. The suspect, who was driving without a license, had a blood alcohol level more than double the legal limit. The victim's names not immediately released here. Nonstop News at 5, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Still to come, the man challenging George Gascon in next month's election says lawyers in the LA County DA's office have lost faith in him. We go in depth with Nathan Hochman. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 o'clock continues. Well, Israel says its troops have begun what they call limited localized ground raids into Lebanon to take care of Hezbollah targets. The Israeli military said targets pose an immediate threat to communities in northern Israel. Joining us now with more is UCLA Middle East expert Ben Radd. Ben, thank you for joining us. And you know, the first question off the top of my mind is, they're going across the border. They're going into Lebanon. How long will all this last?
Hi, thank you for having me. This does not look like it's going to be a full-scale invasion yet, not like what we saw in 2006. At this point, Israel's indicated it's more of a commando raid meant to take out installations from which Hezbollah's firing rockets and mortars into northern Israel. So it seems to be very limited, with some air support as well as artillery support from the other side of the border.
So you don't think, I mean, as an expert, obviously, you don't think this is going to last too long. You think this will be just a real quick, let's get in, let's get out. We're not going to see full-blown tanks. We're not going to see the entire army over on the Lebanon side.
Unknown, but I say it's not very likely, because Israel will have to mobilize a lot more forces, and they're already spread pretty thin by having battalions in Gaza and then operations on the West Bank. Not to say that they could not or would not do this. Netanyahu wouldn't surprise me if he did. But as of now, it seems like they're trying to completely dismantle all of Hezbollah's ability to fire rockets from the north. And that seems to be the primary objective.
Israel is, I mean, they're stretching themselves thin. I mean, as you just said, we've got Gaza, we've got some issues in the West Bank, we've got now the Lebanon thing, we've got Israel firing in retaliation to the Houthis in Yemen, Iran. If Iran comes into play, is Israel going to be able to handle all these fronts?
Well, the United States has indicated that it will provide support by having carrier groups in the Mediterranean, in the Gulf, and wherever needed to provide backup for Israel should that come into play. What Israel is doing by operating on all these fronts at once is demonstrating that it has the ability to do this. It has the ability not only to carry out these operations, but to also do them effectively, very surgically at times when it needs to, whether they're targeted killings, assassinations of particular leadership figures, or limited ground incursions. They're demonstrating their ability to project their power on multi fronts at once, and to do so effectively when it can.
Do you think that Israel actually wants some sort of retaliation from Iran? Do you think Israel wants the green light, the go-ahead to take care of business there?
I think as we're approaching the one-year anniversary of the October 7 attacks of last year, what Israel, what Netanyahu wants to do is conclusively and effectively neutralize all of Israel's existential enemies to prevent any likelihood or possibility of another October 7th from happening, and understanding that the source of all this is the Islamic Republic of Iran, which funds, provides, and uses these various groups as proxies, the so-called axis of resistance. So it is doing this to neutralize and prevent any further ability from anyone to do another October 7th attack.
Ben, how does all this end? I mean, you see this over and over again. You see these kids in Gaza. You see kids in Lebanon who have parents that have been killed. And I'm not taking any sides here. I'm just saying these kids now are going to grow up angry, with a lot of anger, at Israel. Are we ever going to see the end of Hezbollah or Hamas, or is it just going to get bigger, stronger, and just continue?
That's a great question. And I think the answer to that is the ability to completely neutralize and prevent Iran from projecting its power through these different proxy groups. It's Iran that is using Lebanese children, Palestinian children, Syrian children, Jordanians, Yemeni children as pawns sacrificed as part of its broader regional ambitions. And when Iran is finally contained, or when that regime is changed, where it's no longer looking to subjugate and dominate others beyond its borders, then and only then will we see the funding for these groups cease, and coupled with an Israeli willingness to provide some sort of self-rule or autonomy for Palestinians so that it can bring an end to that conflict as well.
It seems like almost an impossible story, but let's hope that's the case. UCLA Middle East expert Ben Redd, thank you so much for joining us. It's 5:15. Still to come, it's one of the biggest decisions LA County voters will need to make next month. Who should be the district attorney? We go in depth with a man challenging George Gascon, but first.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Just over a week to go to the LA County DA's debate here on KNX News between incumbent George Gascon and challenger Nathan Hochman. Election campaign dominated by claim and counterclaim about crime and the best way to combat it. Charles Feldman, Margaret Carrero talked on our Countdown 2024 show with former federal prosecutor Hochman. And Charles asked about his assertion that Gascon has lost the confidence of his staffers.
So a lot of people don't like him, and I think that's probably true, but a lot of people do. My guess is if you won, there are going to be people in the DA's office that will like you and some who won't. Do you get rid of the ones who you don't get along with, and what will that due to morale in the DA's office?
Well, let's start with what's going on there right now. This isn't like 50% of the prosecutors don't like him or 20%. 98% voted to support his recall. Recently, 2 days ago, over 200 prosecutors put their names on an endorsement of my campaign, which is quite courageous for them because Gascon has a history of retaliating against people who stand against him, which is why he's facing 20 retaliation lawsuits from his own people. So you have a situation, and by the way, over 200 seasoned, experienced lawyers have left the DA's office because they refused to work for Gascon. So we're not talking about just a couple people who are disgruntled. We're talking about the entire office has effectively rejected their boss. And by the way, that's not the first time that's happened. You know, he's from the LAPD, and the LAPD is backing me in this election, the officers. He's from the San Francisco Police Department. The San Francisco Police Officers Association has endorsed me and told the people of LA, look, we tried to tell you in 2020 not to make him your DA. And we're telling you once again in 24, don't elect this guy as your DA.
You know, when
So I'll be able to work with anybody who's on mission for the safety of the people of Los Angeles, whether they support me or not. If they're on mission, they will have a partner in Nathan Hochman to go ahead and accomplish that mission.
You know, when you think of crimes, Mr. Hochman, like shoplifting, there are underlying reasons for why people steal, inflation, the economy. What sorts of solutions do you have to offer to address those things?
So what the solutions I have is the range of punishments that are available. Because what I'm not going to do is pretend if someone, like for instance, every 7-Eleven that you encounter is actually owned by an individual. And I met with 100 7-Eleven franchisee owners, and they tell me they don't even refer the cases to the law enforcement because the DA's office won't prosecute them. They don't even go to their insurance company because the insurance deductible is more than the loss. And if they file the claim, they'll lose the policy. So what I have told these folks and what I will tell you and what I will tell criminals is if you go ahead and commit these crimes, you will be held accountable. But we will figure out what punishment meets the crime in a smart, effective way. So again, if someone is stealing and they're a first-time offender, it might be that they have to pay the money back. And it might be that they pay $10 a week for the next 2 years. It might be that they do community service. And if they do have a drug addiction, we will give them that choice. You can go to jail, or you can go through a drug rehab program, conquer, hopefully, your drug addiction or get it under control, and then become a productive citizen, and we'll wipe your record clean of that crime.
Now, we've also asked Gascon for an interview on Countdown 2024, waiting for his response in the DA's debate that we're co-hosting with the LA Times. That's coming up on Tuesday, October 8th, so a little over a week from now. If you have questions you'd like us to ask either of the candidates, feel free to send it to us, debate@knxnews.com. Let's get a look at our money now. Here's Joan Doniger.
The TV market has changed drastically in the last 22 years, which is the last time DirecTV and Dish tried to merge. Then regulators sued to block the deal. This time, DirecTV and Dish are losing market share to streamers. So this latest attempt to create the biggest pay TV provider in the country is not expected to raise as many eyebrows. Move over, Netflix, for Amazon Prime. It drew nearly $2 billion in ad commitments last week, and Bank of America says that puts it on track for up to $4 billion in ad revenue for next year. That was better than Amazon's own targets, and it puts it well ahead of Netflix. Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell provoked a chill on Wall Street for a short time, saying the Fed is not in a hurry and will lower interest rates over time. But in the end, investors shook off those comments and sent the stock averages higher, with gains stretching from the flat line to nearly a half percent. The Dow rose 17, the Nasdaq 70, the S&P 24. I'm Bloomberg's Joan Doniger, KNX News 97.1 FM.
And that wraps up your nonstop news for Friday, Monday, or Friday. I wish it was Friday. Can you tell I'm pushing the week? News at 5 for Monday, September 30th, presented by My Lemon Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Yes, it's only Monday.